In Southern California, you're in your car a lot. Over time, you're going to put some wear on it. But new Toyota owners don't really have to think about that, because they have Toyota Care. They just stop by the dealership, hand over the keys, and get no-cost factory maintenance, covering normal wear for 2 years or 25,000 miles, whichever comes first. Get all the details on Toyota Care when you visit buyatoyota.com. Your Southern California Toyota dealers make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. If you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with what's going on all around us. I've been privileged to do this show now for over 20 years. Thank you to WBT for this honor. Also, thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry, whose sponsorship of this show allows it to be on every single week. Well, we continue in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, people still anxious to have their lives return to normalcy. We're not there yet. We see all kinds of sniping going on between the state of North Carolina and Donald Trump and all kinds of issues that are occurring there that seem not to have an end, at least in the foreseeable future. But we have to deal with what's going on, folks. And we are in the reality of a pandemic. We are still quasi-largely shut down in the state of North Carolina. Our friends to the south in South Carolina have opened things up more. We don't know if that opening up is going to cause a second wave or not. We do see statistics that suggest that the vast majority of people who are dying by this, at least 50%, maybe more, are people who are elderly, who are 65 and plus, who have pre-existing conditions. So we want to be sensitive to our neighbors who are a bit older. I guess that would include maybe me and other people who are listening right now. But we also want to return to some sense of normalcy. And in order to do so with peace in our hearts, filled with a mind of faith, we've got to be able to have an eternal perspective. And that's what I want to talk about today. It's a chapter in my most recent book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety, a book I wrote a year ago, not knowing the pandemic would break out. And it's what I want to address today. But first, before going there, I've asked my friend and producer, Ed Billick, if he would open up his mic and share his experience this past Sunday, where he looked on the websites that were available for worship, and he actually went and worshiped. Ed, talk about your experience.
Found a Catholic church not far from where I live, a smaller church, and I attended there a 7 o'clock Catholic Mass, first time now in 10 weeks. I'd been watching different Catholic churches' Mass online like a lot of us have, a lot of us Catholics. But, of course, I found this, and I didn't know what to expect, David. So you walk in, and there is no no missalettes, no singing hymnals, but they ask you if you want to donate, because they don't pass the basket. There's an offering place to put your donation in. And then you go in, and every other pew was roped off, so you get the social distancing. The church can only hold 75 people under this new kind of scenario they had.
And they've limited it to 75.
Right. I don't know what percent of the total that was. So then in my pew, you know, 6, 7, 8 feet was a man and a wife, and it was a Catholic Mass like I was used to. No singing, and I don't know if that Mass has a choir or not. And the priest did a wonderful, wonderful job, a great sermon. You know, the sun was coming through the stained glass, and I had a little tear in my eye that I was back in God's house worshiping and looking forward to receiving Holy Communion.
Wow. You know, Ed, we take so much for granted, don't we? And one of the things that have hit me during this virus pandemic and our inability to gather for worship is thinking about Hebrews 10:25, where there's a command, really, do not forsake the assembling together of God's people, believers in Jesus. And then there's also that psalm that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't think I've ever understood David's statement. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It, for me and the church I pastor right now, we're shut down. We are meeting in a gym, and all schools' facilities have been closed down, and community usage as well. So we don't have a home right now. We're nomadic, and we can't come together, not only because of the school situation, but simply because of the pandemic as well. I miss gathering together with my friends and other believers. I really miss that. So,
because we're a community people, David. We're a Eucharist, they say.
We're created to be together. You know, Genesis 2:28, that it's not good for man to be alone. We're supposed to be together with all those who love the Lord as well. So I'll never again take for granted being able to come together as God's people. And I'll always have that picture of you in the pew with the sun coming through a stained glass window and your tears flowing in your eyes down your cheeks going, man, I'm glad to be back in worship. I'm glad to be able to take Holy Communion.
I was afraid I was going to be touching my face.
you can't do that. You know, interestingly, the CDC in Atlanta also suggests that when churches come back together, that they don't sing. The choirs don't sing, the people don't sing, because that's a way of projectiling potential viruses in the air.
Well, then let's play it over the sound system and you can hum along.
well, you know, you have to
have music, right?
You have to. And you know what? I don't know if that's really a way that the virus is spread or not. But you know what? It surely suggests that when you worship together, singing is an important part of worship. Ed Billick, David Chadwick here. Folks, when we come back, let's talk about developing an eternal perspective in your heart. It is, in my opinion, the major way to defeat worry, especially during a pandemic. We'll be right back.
We are many, yet we are one.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. We are many, but we're one. You know, we're all in this together, this crisis, this pandemic. So let's all work together for serving and loving one another so that we can get through this thing as soon as possible. And I've asked my friend and producer, Ed Billick, to open up his microphone to talk with me for a second about a subject we both discussed before we went on air today. And that's the whole subject of when people want you to wear a mask and you go, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm macho. I don't need to wear a mask. And Ed, you've encountered that as well, haven't you?
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think what we need to do, David, is everyone's coming from a different perspective. Everyone's coming from a different background, whether they're germophobes or not germophobes. But we ought not to be labeling people. You know, it's their preference on what they want to do. Now, at the same time, you got to be respectful of others, right? And, you know, by wearing a mask, I believe you are protecting others from what you may have or what you may not have.
Yeah, I think the bottom line on that is if the mask is desired in the place where you're going, wear a mask. And if it's not and you're allowed that personal choice, then choose wisely according to your own desires. I think the bottom line for me is, you know, Jesus encapsulated the entire Old Testament in one phrase. He said, love God and love your neighbor. So one of the best ways you love God is by loving your neighbor. I know for me, if you love my kids, you really are loving me, because they are one of the things I love most in this world along with my wife. So a way of loving God is by loving your neighbor. So if you wearing a mask loves your neighbor well in a place where they'd like for you to wear a mask. Yeah. It is the way you love your neighbor. So make that, folks, a mantra throughout this pandemic. I'm choosing to love God and love my neighbor.
You know, I make fun, and this is shame on me, but I make fun of people wearing a mask while they're driving their car. No one else is around. Well, at the same time, I ought to preach, I ought to listen to what I'm saying here. Is like, that's their preference.
Right.
Okay. If they want to wear a ball cap, wear a ball cap. If they want to wear a mask, wear a mask. Okay. So that's their preference, and they have their own psychological and medical needs for something like that.
And Ed, don't judge other people who make different decisions than you make. If there are people out there who are wearing a mask and you think, how silly, I don't need that, or in a spiritual way, I'm praying away this disease. I mean, you don't be that kind of judgment on other people. That's not your job. And you don't know their life situation. You don't know their medical condition. You don't know their pre-existing conditions. You don't know their physical vulnerabilities. You've got to let people choose their own life and not judge, because the moment you stand in judgment over another person, then you need to realize you're operating in pride. You're inviting then God to judge you for your pride, and that's not a good thing at all.
You did a recent moment of hope on that exact topic.
Yeah, it's in the verse in James where we're told to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and it's so interesting. We have a choice. We can either choose to humble ourselves, or we can choose to let God humble us. And I've lived a lot of years on this side of eternity, and I can tell you it is much better to choose yourself, to humble yourself, rather than have God humble you, because God tends to be a little more harsh than I am when I choose to humble myself. So, folks, don't be judgmental, and let people live their lives as they feel like they need to do it, and let's pray together and work together that this pandemic ends ASAP. Well, Ed, let's talk about developing an eternal perspective in our lives. You know, I've recently written a book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. If any of you listeners would like to get it, go online. You can order it through Amazon or any outlet. Its purpose is to help give us 12 practical suggestions on how to deal with anxiety. And I don't know if you saw it this week, Ed, but evidently anxiety-related suicide hotline calls are up 800%. May I say that again? People who are contemplating suicide have called suicide hotlines 800% more because they're thinking about taking their lives, and the root of why they are calling is anxiety. So it's a huge problem in our culture. It was in existence before this particular pandemic started. We need, though, to deal with it, not only now, but in the future, because we don't know how long this thing is going to last. I am convinced in my book that probably one of, if not the major way that we can deal with anxiety is in one of the chapters entitled Develop an Eternal Perspective. And I ask in the book, how much would our anxiety diminish if we developed an eternal perspective on everything that happens to us? If we looked at our problems from God's point of view, if we see God sitting on his throne, ruling over everything, and we then try to rise up to where God is to look at all of the problems from God's perspective, I wonder if anxiety wouldn't start to diminish more and more. There's a great verse in the Bible in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It's an amazing verse where we are raised with Christ and actually seated with him on that throne, overlooking all of our problems, all of the world's problems. And when we do so, our faith increases and we are allowed to give our problems to God. And I'm convinced that when we give our problems to God, God says to us, I've got this. And then we say to God, it's your deal. And when we say it's your deal and God says, I've got this, how many of our problems start to shrink in their magnitude because we realize the Lord God, creator of the universe, has this problem in his hands and he's working it together for good.
I bring up the Catholic perspective, but that verse has been used in the last couple of weeks' readings here, as well as the Acts coming off of the resurrection as we head to the Ascension. And then today, the Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah, that was the Sunday when the Holy Spirit was poured out in power.
Which is today.
Yeah, lives in us. The Holy Spirit of God, the very power of God, lives in us. Romans 8:11, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. What an extraordinary promise. And then Colossians 3:2 goes on to say, well, if we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, looking at our problems from an eternal perspective, then set your mind on things that are above. Put your mind on God's throne, realizing he controls everything. And if we really believe that, would we not again see our anxieties shrink? It's an amazing thought when you think about it, and it's something all of us should consider. It's something I'm convinced needs to be a part of our lives every single day. Develop an eternal perspective.
You know, it's interesting. We have been taking these last weeks and going through the different chapters. This one, by the way, is chapter 12. So you can go back and listen to any of the podcasts in the last, five or six weeks where we have dug deep dives into these chapters of David's book.
Yeah, 12 practical suggestions on how to renew your mind to think like God wants you to think. Because here's what I believe, folks. whatever you feel is being fed by a thought life. Let me say that again. Whatever you feel is being fed by a thought life. So how you think is what you'll feel. Your cognitive abilities are affecting your feelings. So if you want to change your feelings of anxiety, then you got to change how you think. And it seems to me like what the Bible suggests over and over again is that our anxieties and fears are directly related to how much we really believe God is in control. How much faith do we really have in the Lord being the one who controls everything in our lives? And if we truly believe that, if we set our minds on His throne, if we focus on His reality of the eternal King of the universe, then it seems like if we really think that, the feelings of anxiety will begin to shrink because, again, we know that God's got this. And we say to Him, it's your deal. He says, I've got this. And it begins again to allow us to give our lives to Him, to focus on Him, and see this pandemic's reality cease.
You know, for folks that watch the cable news networks, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all the different perspectives, all the political discussions, all the tit-for-tat, and you're consumed with that, no wonder that the anxiety and fear you have for the future is it would drive you crazy. I avoid all that because I know what the harm that can do to a person.
Now, Ed, you're a news guy, and you're asked from time to time here at WBT to sub and give news reports.
Especially on the sports side, of course.
But even on the news side, you know this reality.
Oh, I do.
If it bleeds, it leads. So you try to get some kind of spectacular, sensational story to lead with, but it's often a story that bleeds because that's what grabs people's thought life. Folks, you've got to be concerned about what you're allowing into your mind. If you're constantly hearing negative, fearful news reports, either from WBT or from CNN, MSNBC, Fox, whatever may be your news source, if it's causing your heart to feel fear, if it's increasing your anxiety, and that's what they do. The purpose of news is to grab your attention, but they have to have a spectacular, often fear-filled story to grab your attention. That's what will then cause your anxiety to increase.
I don't want to continue this topic, but everything's breaking news. When you and I were growing up, breaking news was the space shuttle that blew up, or Kennedy assassination, or major events. But now everything is breaking news. Why is that?
Oh, within a 24-hour news cycle, everything's breaking news, and it's in order to get a listener or a viewer to watch or to listen. It's for the purpose of hooking the person, the audience, into the news source. And that's the whole reason they do spectacular news
breaking
stories.
News perspectives as opposed to external or the eternal perspective, the divine perspective.
They're not giving the eternal perspective. They're giving what we call the bad news. And what I would say to everyone is go higher. Make sure you go higher. I went parasailing once with Marilyn, and we went way high. And here's what we decided. The higher we got, the smaller everything below got. Folks, if you'll just go higher with God, if you'll go to seat with Him in the heavenlies, if you'll just get an eternal perspective, your own problems, even this pandemic, will begin to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Why? Because you know God has said to you, I've got this, and you've said to God, it's your deal. May I ask you to do that with all of your life's problems, but especially with this pandemic? Develop an eternal perspective. Say, God, this is your deal. Hear God say to you, I've got this, and watch your anxiety decrease as you go higher. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside still waters. He restores my soul. Psalm 23, verse 1. Do you really believe the Lord is your shepherd today, folks? Because when you do, you know this shepherd will shepherd you well and will care for you and will solve all your fears. That's the belief that we have in an eternal God. And what I'm doing during this program today with my dear friend Ed Billick, the producer of this show with me here on News Talk 1110-993 WBT, is looking at an eternal perspective. It's one of the chapters in my recent book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's 12 practical suggestions on how to overcome anxiety and fear in your life. Developing an eternal perspective is absolutely key. It's essential to do so. And when you go high and seat yourself with Christ on his throne in the heavenlies, and then you say to him, you know what, Lord, here's my problem. You take it. He says, I've got this. And then you say, it's your deal. Amazingly, anxiety starts to shrink in your heart because you know he's carrying this. You know he's got this. The coronavirus is in God's hands. He is carrying this. He's overseeing it. He oversees all of history. Every single moment in history is overseen by God on his throne. And when you develop an eternal perspective and see God on his throne, anxiety starts to shrink.
David, do you have some personal, I mean, you've been in ministry for many years, many, many years. Do you have personal experiences where you've seen this play out?
Well, let me go first of all, Ed, to a certain biblical example that stands out in my mind. Really, it's found, first of all, in Jeremiah 27, verse 6, where God says that he's going to use Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who was an evil, godless king, as, quote unquote, my servant to judge the Israelites. And that seems so odd for those of you who know the Bible. In the book of Habakkuk, God comes to Habakkuk the prophet and says, I'm going to do something so amazing, so incredible, it's going to blow you away. And Habakkuk says, oh, please tell me what it is. I'll believe whatever you tell me. And God says, no, you won't believe what I'm going to tell you and what I'm going to do. Habakkuk says, oh, I really will believe it. Please tell me. And God says, okay, I'm going to use the godless king Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians as my instrument to come judge your godlessness. And Habakkuk says, I don't believe it. It's such an amazing reality that God would take a godless king like Nebuchadnezzar and in Jeremiah 27, 6, call him my servant. But here's the point. God uses everything and everyone for his purposes. All things work together for good for those who love God because God's using everything according to his divine plan. He even used Nebuchadnezzar as his instrument to judge the Israelites and called him my servant. Now, what's interesting is in Isaiah 44 and 45, Cyrus became the king over all of the world at that point. He was a Persian king, and God used Cyrus as his instrument to judge Nebuchadnezzar. And God calls Cyrus in Isaiah 44 and 45 as my appointed one. So God appointed Cyrus as his instrument to do his work against Nebuchadnezzar, whom God chose to use as his instrument against the Israelites. The point being this. God can and does use anything and everything for his divine purposes. In fact, Ed, you gave me something that I want to read right now. It's absolutely fascinating. What might God be doing with the coronavirus right now?
I got this from one of my friends from my Curcio group, which is a Catholic men's group. And it's a little Old Testament, but go ahead.
Let's ask the question, what God might be doing with the COVID-19 crisis. He's on the throne. He uses everything for good, even Nebuchadnezzar, even Cyrus. What might he be doing? This is what your friend wrote. In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church at all. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a verse from Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He then went on to say, maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus.
That's interesting.
It's powerful, and I think he's making a great point. You know, it's interesting. We all believe in God. We trust God. And as we're waiting for something, it gets really hard. None of us likes to wait. We like to pray and have God say yes immediately and then move forward. But oftentimes God says, no, wait. I'm putting you in the waiting room, and you've got to wait upon this answer. And I'm convinced that when we have to wait, God reveals our idols like no other time. When we're forced to just sit and be, God brings to the surface all those things upon which we depend, like entertainment, like musicians, like athletics, like the theater, like the stock market and money, all those things that we depend upon rather than Him. He brings those to the surface, and we have to do an ugly stare and say, you know what, my life has been rooted in that stuff and not in the Lord. And this time of waiting, this time of isolation is forcing me to come to grips with that. You know, Ed, interestingly, in the winter months on a farm, all those stones that are deep below the surface are brought to the surface by the cold air. But when they're brought to the surface, the farmer has to walk out in the spring and take those stones and throw them away, then to plow the land in order to get the seed planted in order to enjoy the harvest later on. That's what God's, I think, doing now, too. With a lot of us, He's forcing us in our winter time in isolation and alone for those rocks of idolatry, those things we've worshipped instead of Him, to come to the surface. And we now have a chance to pick them up, throw them away, and let God plow our hearts and plant the new seeds of faith that will bloom a harvest of joy, peace, and righteousness in the months and years to come.
You know, so how do we fill our time if we're not watching sporting events or theaters or movies and all that? It is very interesting that the two most popular items right now that they can't keep in the stores are puzzles and bicycles. I've visited a bicycle shop and they're almost out of bicycles. And the point being is families are coming together, they're riding their bikes in the neighborhood. And I know my wife and daughter love putting puzzles together. It's an activity that brings people together. And then you have said on the show that it, maybe because without the pollution or the airplanes and all that, the sky is prettier, the birds are chirping. Maybe that's just us appreciating God's beauty in nature.
When we have this time alone, we have the opportunity to go deep in the Lord, and I would encourage everyone to do what you're talking about, have family time with puzzles, bike rides, whatever that might be. Talk with those kids you've not had a chance to talk to before, get to know them better, but also use this chance to open up God's Word, read the Scripture. Many people tell me, I'm just so busy, I don't have time to read the Bible. You've got time now. Listen to some podcasts from people who help expound upon the Scripture. It helps your heart grow in faith. You have time now to do things you didn't have to do, and you can really develop that heart of faith like you've never had that chance before. God is in control. Develop an eternal perspective. Let me give another illustration, Ed. I was at the beach last week celebrating 42 years of marriage to my beloved Marilyn.
Beautiful.
Well, she's the best friend I've ever had, and I love her so much. We were with my son, Michael, and his wife, Cassie. Well, my son Michael is trying to train for the Olympics, and most people know the Olympics got postponed for a year. So he got caught in a real difficult situation of having to put off for another year that training regimen that's so hard for Olympic athletes. And Michael is a great kid and a wonderful guy. In 2016, he tried out for the Olympic team, and he was seated fifth, and that would have gotten him into the Olympic team had he finished fifth in the 100 free. Well, as he was doing the 100 free, he dove in, and this was in the quarterfinals. He had an accident that had never happened before, hasn't happened since. His arm spread out, and he couldn't make it to the end in the right time. So he didn't have the chance to make the team, even though everybody in the world thought Michael had a chance to make the team. He was devastated. Can you imagine training the amount of hours that athletes train and then have it all stripped away in 1 second and then have to wait for another 4 years to try out again? It's just amazing. Well, Michael was devastated, but he went to his faith. He went to his eternal perspective. He said, you know what? God's in control. I've got to trust Him in this. He drove back from Omaha, where the trials were, to Missouri, Columbia, where he was in school. And the next night, he met a lovely little girl by the name of Cassie Dia. And they fell in love, and they've been married now for 2 years. And in watching them last week just love on each other and care for one another, he even said it himself, you know, Dad, had I made the Olympic team, I would not have met Cassie, and I would not be with the love of my life right now. So here's the question, is God in control? Does God see something that we don't see? When there's pain and difficulty, when there is a misstep in an Olympic trial, when you're going through a pandemic, is God on His throne? Hey, folks, develop an eternal perspective. Trust him and say to God, it's your deal with this problem. And hear God say back to you, I've got this. And then have peace in your heart. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear this show on developing an eternal perspective as a way to solve anxiety, especially during this pandemic. I think it can help you all. It's a part of a book I've written called Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's chapter 12. In fact, over the last weeks, we've been covering each chapter in order to help us all overcome anxiety and to live peacefully and in the joy of the Lord. Also, if you'd like to hear this program, it's going to be aired at 12 noon today. WBT's been gracious on Sundays now to repeat the program at 8 o'clock, then at noon. Also, if you'd like to hear my own worship service online, go to momentsofhopechurch.org. Again, momentsofhopechurch.org. And we have the services on at 9 and 11. In fact, I'm dealing with today this whole idea of developing an eternal perspective, trying to help people have their faith in God and then alleviate anxiety themselves. Ed Billick is with me today. He has an open mic. Ed, it's been fun talking to people about the desire to develop a heart of faith and to go high to an eternal perspective. And when people do that, it does indeed increase faith, doesn't it?
It sure does, David. You know, as we produce this show, or I make sure we're on schedule, time went very quickly today for some reason, probably because the content was so rich and compelling.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. You know, from a biblical perspective, it reminds us over and over again that God's on his throne. He controls everything, and when we trust him from that eternal perspective, anxiety will decrease in our hearts. And I know from my own life situations, when I've trusted the Lord, my own anxiety decreases. Let me give you another personal illustration. I played the University of North Carolina basketball, and after that, I got a contract in Europe, and I played in Europe for 3 years. I signed to go back and play a fourth year. I came back and was working at the University of North Carolina basketball camp, and I got a telegram from my team in Europe that said basically they were voiding my contract. They were signing somebody else. Well, it was a devastating moment. You know, you work so hard all your life to have a career and to play well, and suddenly it's gone. And I had to sit down and go, okay, what's next? And I then began to develop an eternal perspective and trusted God with the next steps. Well, I asked Coach Smith, my college coach at that point, if he had anything he could help me with. And he said, no, but you know, John Lotz, my assistant coach, is now at the University of Florida. And I was recruited out of Orlando, Florida. And he said, maybe you should call John and see if he has anything for you. Well, I did. And John said, you know, Dave, I've already promised my internship to another person. I don't have anything available, but if something should happen, I'll call you right back. Well, the next day, John calls me right back and says, you know, the guy that I promised the graduate assistantship to just came into my office and said he really doesn't want it. He wants to pursue something else. Do you want it? And I said, I think so. So I got in my car and drove to Gainesville, Florida immediately. John and I sat down. We started thinking about, well, what graduate study could I do? And I mean, we're in July and the courses were going to start in August. And I said, well, Coach, I've always been interested in counseling. Maybe I could do something there. And John said, well, you know, we're in July. It's going to be really hard to get you into a graduate counseling program, but the chair of the counseling graduate program here at the University of Florida is one of my good friends. He called him up. He came immediately over. He said to me, you know, David, it really is hard to get into our program. We only accept 1 out of 1,000 applications. And I went, gulp, I don't know what to do. And he said, but then again, I'm the chairman of the program and I can do whatever I want to do. So he pulled some strings, got me in the program. Bottom line, Ed, after 2 years of a graduate counseling degree, I felt God's call into ministry. And my undergraduate degree was in communications. My graduate degree was in counseling. Going into ministry, what are the two things you need to do? Learn how to listen, learn how to talk. I then went into ministry. And then after the end of my first year in seminary, I met this beautiful young woman named Marilyn on a blind date. And I know most of my friends say she must have been blind to marry you. And we got married. And here we are 42 years later, 3 kids, 7 grandkids, and all because that contract was voided in Europe. And what looked as an awful experience at that time was really the right experience, because the delay in going to graduate school, then to seminary, allowed me to wait long enough for Marilyn then to graduate from college. She's 6 years younger than I am, and to meet and to marry and to have a great life together.
All right, hit me with your Davidism. Well, God's
rejection is my protection.
Or something about appointment?
Isn't there? Yes. The other one is disappointment is God's appointment. Disappointment is God's appointment. So we really believe that rejection is God's protection. Rejection is God's redirection. We also believe that life's disappointment is God's appointment. The truth is, we have to look at life from God's perspective. We've got to trust Him that He's got everything in control. Again, like we've said throughout this program today, Ed, that we say to God with our problems, it's your deal. God says to us with our problems, I've got this. Do we really believe that? Do we believe God's sovereign over history, sovereign over our lives? History is His story, God's story. We find our story in His story. He wants to fit it all together, and He is if we just trust Him today and all days. That's the message we've tried to give people today. Develop an eternal perspective. When you do so, peace comes to your heart and you are filled with the joy of the Lord like never before. Yes, you can have that kind of peace even amidst this pandemic if you develop an eternal perspective. Hear God say, I've got this. And then you say to God, it's your deal. Give it to Him, cast it on Him, and let Him carry the problem. He's willing and able to do so much better than we are. Ed, thanks for being with me today. It's been a pleasure.
Sure has.
And let's pray together right now and lift up our listeners before the Lord. Heavenly Daddy, Papa, Father, in Jesus' name I come to You. You are the one I know as my personal Lord and Savior, and I know that through You I can pray to the Father and ask anything. And I now intercede in prayer for all of those who are listening right now. I know many people are carrying many burdens, especially because of this pandemic. They're worried about their retirement plans. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about being able to feed their families. They're worried about simply having significance in this world. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would touch every listener's heart right now and You would give them an eternal perspective. They could literally see You right now, visibly sitting on the throne, overseeing all of creation, controlling everything by Your divine sovereign plan. Oh, Lord, could every person right now take their problems and cast them upon You? Could we all go higher and higher and see our problems become smaller and smaller? And as we do so, we sit on the throne with You and look down and see, you know, You've got this. And we can literally say to You, I'm relinquishing it to You. And Lord, we just trust You with everything right now. We pray for those who have experienced the pain of a loved one who's died from the coronavirus. Give them Your peace. Let them know that You're in control of every life here on this side of eternity. For people who may be ill right now with COVID-19, I pray You'd heal them in Jesus' name. Give their bodies a supernatural strength right now and let them feel Your power. And Lord, I also pray for anyone listening today who is worried to the point of thinking about suicide. Please don't do it. Please don't do that. Call a suicide hotline. Go high. Know that God loves you, cares for you, and really does want to give you a new life. Trust Him. When you do, there is a hope that will fill your heart, and you will know that life still has meaning and purpose. Thank You, Lord, for helping us today to learn how to develop an eternal perspective. When we do so, we really do relinquish our cares to You, and we see You carrying everything, all of our concerns, every part of history. This is Your world. You created it. So I finally pray, Lord, that we would learn how to love You better with all our hearts, souls, mind, and might, and that we also would love our neighbors. We would wear masks if we have to or not, but we would love our neighbors because You call us to do so as well. And when we do so, we've never been more like You. So thank You for this program. Thank You for the sponsors of the show. Thank You for the ability to speak. I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone, talk with you all next week.